In this
last session we have on the prayer life, I just felt that the Lord wanted me to share with you on the matter of prayer and watching. Watch and pray. Of course, there is several other aspects. We can never finish this whole matter of prayer. It really is occupying quite some space in the Word of God. So it is a very important matter. But I do think that living in the end time, especially, it is of great importance that we understand how to watch and pray. So we could call this aspect of the prayer life prayer and the end time, because we really need in this hour, when the darkness is falling upon the whole earth, to be able to come awake and be aware of what is happening around us and also within us. So could we read this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 34. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Be on guard that your heart may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that they come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And then from chapter 12 in same Gospel of Luke and verse 33, we can read from verse 29, I think. And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed in readiness, and keep your lamps alight, and be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly, I say to you, that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline a table, and will come up and wait on them, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third, and finds them so. Blessed are those slaves. And then finally from Mark's Gospel of Mark, and chapter 14, And verse 37. And he came and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying, that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Could we turn to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we do want to thank you and bless you this morning, that we can sense your love and your fellowship with us. Lord, we are so privileged. We, out of billions of people, have come to know you and to be your children. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship with the Father and his Son and with one another in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we desire that you commune with us this morning through your word. And Lord, that you be able to speak to us in such a way that we will be able in a better way in days to come to be on the alert, to be awake and know what is going on. Lord, we ask your mercy upon our gathering. We know that we can do nothing apart from you. But Lord, we do know too that in him we can do all things. We praise you for your presence. Open up our ears. Open our mouth. Give us words to speak, Lord. Not only a subject, but the very words that we need. We thank you for it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This matter of watching is, in fact, a very simple thing to understand. I think it has something to do being able to know where you are and what you are doing and what is happening around you. And when we speak of prayer, really what you are asking the Lord for. Sometimes when I look on a congregation, at least in Scandinavia, I do believe I can see that although everyone that are present is there in their bodies, quite a few are not there. Their minds are not with us. They are all over the place, wandering in their thoughts. They have no concentration. And you know, we have been used to that situation, so we just tolerate in our own lives and even in our gatherings that we can be so unconcentrated and in a way sleep during everything that goes on. It's such a problem today to be able to concentrate and know where I am, what am I doing right now? And even when we have a time of prayer, what are we really asking the Lord for right now? As I told you last night, if you ask people after a prayer meeting what they required of the Lord, many of them will look puzzled and look like a big question mark. Because we've been so used to just be together and have a time of prayer and not really being aware of what it all is about. Isn't it true? We need to learn how to watch and be on the alert. My father has been a Pentecostal pastor for more than 30 years, and he used to travel with another brother, and that brother, he sometimes, when they had been traveling for a long time and they came to the evening meeting and they were having a service in a certain church in a certain town in Denmark, This brother, he sometimes fell asleep when he was not preaching. My father was doing the preaching, and he was sitting down in the front row, and then he fell asleep. And one day my father told me they were up in the northern part of Denmark, and my father was there, and he was about to preach, but really in the beginning of the meeting, when the local pastor, he was trying to make the introduction and greet the company, this brother fell asleep. But then he had a nightmare. And he was dreaming that he was sitting in the car, and that they came driving, and suddenly there was something on the road, and then he allowed, he screamed as he would warn my father. He said, "Put the brakes on," he said, right there sitting on the front row. And then he woke up, of course, and then he looked around, and then he said, "Where are we?" He said. And you know, the local pastor, he was quite a very steady person, so he looked down on the floor. He said, "Right now we are in Isaiah 53. Oh boy, it really is a problem. Where are we? What are we doing? Are we listening? Do we really know what we are gathered for? It's such a problem. We need really to ask the Lord to enable us to be watchmen. Watch and pray. And there are several things we should be watching for. And the first thing I would mention is that we are expected to watch over the Lord, to watch Him, what He is doing, what He is trying to do. And in connection with prayer, if you look up in the prophet of Habakkuk, you will see in chapter 2 and verse 1 how this little prophet, he really had learned that lesson to watch. Habakkuk 2:1, "I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me." This is in a situation of prayer. You know how Habakkuk, he prayed in the first chapter, how he cried to the Lord over the terrible oppression coming upon the people of Israel. He was really in the ministry of prayer and intercession. But thank God that he knew that prayer is not only to pray about certain things and then forget about it, but he had learned to watch the Lord. He was not satisfied only praying the prayers that were needed to be prayed, but he wanted an answer. He expected the Lord to move, and he expected the Lord to speak. Oh, how precious this is. If we could have the same spirit within us, we expect the Lord to speak to us. We expect Him to answer our prayer. And when we speak of waiting upon God, we cannot misunderstand that this has nothing to do being in a state of passivity. Not at all. Some people think that it's spiritual to be passive and sort of leave everything to the Lord Himself to take care of everything. But it's the wrong idea altogether. Waiting upon God is an activity. It is to turn our activity in the right direction, first of all, And you can sense in this little prophet that there's something going on within him. He is really tense. He is really looking to the Lord. He is on the alert. He wants the Lord to speak, and he wants to hear what he will say to him. And in the same manner, we have really to watch for the Lord, what he is doing right now, what he is speaking to us, and what he will answer to our prayers. If you turn to Psalm 123, we have another scripture on that matter. Psalm 123. To thee I lift up my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he shall be gracious to us. He is one who has learned to watch. He's watching the Lord. Like the Lord Jesus himself, he was watching the Father. He said in John chapter 5, I can do nothing of my own, but what I see the Father is doing, I do too. He was, in other words, he was following the Father's movement. And he was able to know what the Father, where the Father was going and what the Father wanted to do, what he was doing. And watching is like that. We must watch the Lord, so that we know what he is doing, and keep our eyes closely and constantly upon him until he is gracious to us, until he acts, and then we are following him and we act together with him, because we are really servants, aren't we? And no servant is able to do his own thing. We must wait for the master to get direction. This is a matter of really watching the Lord so that we know what he is doing. It's the same when you turn to Isaiah 62 that we have been looking into through our brother's teaching. Isaiah 62, where it speaks of these watchmen. Verse 6, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. They are watching the Lord and expecting the Lord to do something. And they won't give up day or night until he really does something. They keep their attention concentrated upon the Lord. And that is essential. Because when we a little later today speak about watching the enemy, we shall never forget that we must first of all learn to keep our eyes upon the Lord and what he is doing, and all the time keep our eyes on the Lord. Otherwise we could be taking up too much with the darkness and with the enemy. We must watch the Lord and look to him. So even here on the walls of Jerusalem, and even when the watchmen really are in the literal sense were watching the enemy, in order to warn the city if any army of the enemies would draw close, then first of all we have to learn to watch the Lord and look unto him. Also in Isaiah 21, and and verse 6. For this the Lord says to me, go station the sentry, let him report what he sees. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, and train of donkeys and train of camels, let him pay close attention, very close attention. Then the sentry called like a lion, O Lord, I stand continually by day on the watchtower, and I am stationed every night at my guard post. Now behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. And one answered and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon. Oh, when I read these verses, I just had the feeling that sometimes we are not getting the message. What a message. Fallen, fallen is Babylon. What a message. But a lot of God's people don't know that Babylon is fallen. We're not aware of it. We don't see the works of God in our midst, or for that matter, in our nation. We're just not awake and aware, so we don't get the message. We need watchmen who can get the messages that we need for this time and this hour from God. Real prophets that can pass on the message that God has for us right now. What we need more than anything else is the prophetic word from God to this very hour. And if we are going to get that, we need someone who really watches the Lord and gets the message when he speaks. So that is one aspect of watching. Another is that we are awake and we watch our meetings and our fellowship, and we watch over one another. And we are really awake so that we know what is going on. A year ago we had a fellowship meeting where we all meet, and there's no specific ministry. We just sit around the Lord and worship Him, and then we share. And suddenly one Wednesday evening, there was a young man who had come into the meeting, and he stood up and he began to share. And he talked about Jesus, and he talked about the kingdom of God, and so on. All what he said was right, but I had such a strange feeling about it. So I told the brother sitting nearby me and said, there's something wrong in this brother, in this testimony. Although the words are perfect, there's something wrong. And then after the meeting, I went to speak to this young man, and I discovered he was a Jehovah's Witness, trying to, in a very subtle way, to infiltrate. And then I said to the brothers, he will be back. Let us pray about it. And we prayed about it, and we bound it in the name of the Lord. And he came next Wednesday and sat in the same place. And when we had the sharing time, I was watching this young man. But you know, he didn't say a word. He kept silent all the way through. He was bound. And then he came one time more, and then he began to open his heart for some of the brothers, and we shared with him about the Lord. Now we need to be on the alert when things are happening in the midst of our gatherings and meetings. We must watch over the saints. We must not tolerate everything and anything that is going on. And we have been reminded of this heaviness that comes upon us. What do we do about it? We sit down and let it be heavy all the time too. We have learned in our prayer meetings that if we have that sense, and we very often have that sense, especially when we meet for prayer, of great heaviness and tiredness, and people are just not really awake, what do? We bring it to the Lord And we claim it to be a liberated area. We must watch, keep our eyes open, what is going on around us. And this goes for the part of the enemy, of course. And the Lord Jesus is really warning us and exhorting us in this matter, that we should watch also the enemy activity. We are living in a time where there is such a cloud of sleepiness coming upon every human being all over the place. Such a cloud of sleepiness. Now, if you look to Matthew 25, where the Lord is giving this parable about the virgins, the 10 virgins, it says in verse 5, "Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep." Now, that included the 10 wise, the 5 wise virgins, as well as the 5 foolish ones. They all got drowsy and they began to sleep. We are living in the end time, very close to the coming back of our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt about that. And it will be a time where there will come such a sleepiness. And it will come to bear on us too, who belong to the Lord. It's only a matter of how we do react to that problem. If we are able to really watch and prepare ourselves to stay awake while so many are sleeping and falling asleep. It really is a great problem with this sleepiness. You know, in Mark chapter 13, when the Lord is speaking about the time when he will return, how the time will be, we have so many words for this. How the time will be. He has foretold us how the time will be. So in order to warn us that we really stay awake, in Mark 13:35, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know whether the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cock crowing, or in the morning." Now, the interesting thing here is that all these 4 possibilities that the Lord is mentioning, evening or midnight or cock crowing, that is in the very early morning, or morning, he never mentioned day. He never said at lunchtime or in the afternoon. It has really spoken to me that the Lord is not coming back in the time where people normally are awakened, but he will come in the period where people normally sleep. Do you understand me? It's going to be a sleepy time when he comes, where people normally is sleeping. And this is, of course, something that has a spiritual meaning to us. That the Lord Jesus will come back in such a time where we have great temptation to fall asleep. Midnight. You know what happens to me? I have to confess some of my sins. Very often when I come back, or I have a day off or a night, an evening off with my family, when the time is coming close to midnight, I may be reading a book, or I may be watching the late news on the television. Very often something happens to me sitting there, the book is falling out of my hand, and I'm just away. And my dear wife, she comes in, and she gets hold of me, and she wakes me up, and she says, "Darling, it's time to go to bed." You know, I've been sleeping there many times. Last time was before I left I watch with my son and my daughter. We have this national sport of soccer, playing soccer, and we are very fond of that in Denmark. So now you have the World Cup, and some of the games we've been watching, and do you know one of the most exciting ones? I slipped during most of the time. Terrible. Oh, how easy it is when we come close to midnight. We feel sleepy, don't we? And that's why the Lord is warning us. One of my friends, he was in the military, and they often drove in during the night, and he once told me a very interesting thing about this problem of sleepiness. You know, we don't know that we have been sleeping until we wake up. That's true. And suddenly realize, oh, I've been sleeping. But we don't know it whether when we are in it. But only when we wake up we know we have been sleeping. And that's the danger of it. You can be sleeping without knowing it. In fact, if you are asleep, you don't know it. You need someone to wake you up in order to see that you have really been sleeping. And he was driving a big military truck one night from the camp to another place. And then he told me they had had a long, heavy day of military exercise. So while he sat down there in that big truck, he fell asleep. Just in a few seconds. And then, while he was driving this big truck, and then suddenly he woke up, and the big truck were heading for a road tree. And in the last minute, he got the car under control, and he got it turned away, and he saved his life. Oh, the Lord saved his life, because he's a believer. But that taught him a lesson. We don't know that we are sleeping until we wake up. That is why we have to be on the alert. That is why we have to learn to watch even our own life. Because we never know whether we are sleeping or we are awake. If we turn to Luke chapter 21, one of the passages that we have been reading in verse 34, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that the day come on you suddenly like a trap. Now listen to verse 35. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. That includes you and me. That includes the Christians. I don't believe in that teaching that we are all going to be away when this time that the Lord speaks of here is coming. I do think we will get our time too, together with all the rest of people on the earth. This time will come, and it will come upon all that are living upon all the earth, including you and me. There can be no doubt about that. And therefore the Lord says, but keep on the alert, because we need not be among those who are sleeping. Thank God for that. It's not something dispensational that we should sleep. It's not something that the Lord has foretold that we should sleep. He has foretold that it will be a sleepy time. But on the other hand, He has really warned us in order that we can stay awake. We don't need to sleep, thank God. And the love doesn't need to turn cold, even if it will be cold in most of them that are upon the earth. It doesn't need to be that with me and with you. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. In other words, we will have to go through these things. And what the Lord is aiming at is to enable us to escape them. And how do we escape sleepiness? Watch and pray. Without watching and praying, we can be as spiritual as we think we are. We can have as much knowledge as we think we have. We can have all the knowledge. We can know all the truth, and we can have the perfect vision of anything and everything. But if we are not people that are watching and praying, we will fall asleep with the most beautiful and perfect vision of the church and everything else. The Lord has pointed out that the only escape, the only exit, the only way out is to give ourselves to watch and pray. And brothers and sisters, I don't have to be any kind of prophet to say and to tell you that if you are not praying and if you are not watching, you will fall asleep. However spiritual you are. This is the only way. Let us not be passive about it. Let us not fall into that overemphasis that the Lord is taking care of everything and we just have to sit down on a chair and then everything will happen automatically. We will be protected and we will be led and the Lord will do anything even if we are not conscious of it. This is not true. We must cooperate with the Lord if we are going to get through and escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man. We will not lose our salvation. Praise God. You will get to heaven, but you will lose your reward. That's for sure. In the Amplified New Testament it says, be on your guard, lest your heart be overburdened and depressed, weighted down with the giddiness and headache. A good word. Speculation. Headache. You know, worries, anxiety gives people headache. Beware of that. And worldly worries and cares pertaining to the busyness of this life. Well, it's really a problem that we are busy. We are so busy, so busy, so busy. We haven't got the time to pray. There are so many things that we ought to do. The busyness of life. And I do think this is something that goes home to America. Oh, how busy you are over here. Busyness, busyness, busyness. And it is a problem. And some people tend to think that it's all right that they work day and night. And if someone is just inquiring a little bit, could you consider to show up with a prayer meeting? Well, they said, there's nothing I would love to do as this, but you see, I have to work. I got so much, and we say, well, we understand, sorry to bother you. God bless you. I imagine that on the great day when we stand before the Lord, and all these busy people, they're coming to the Lord, and the Lord is saying, why didn't you show up in any prayer meeting? Well, they said, you know, Lord, my business. I was so busy. Do you think the Lord would say, well, yes, I understand. Do excuse me for asking the question. Do you really think that the Lord is going to be impressed with that? I tell you, brothers and sisters, we just have to do something about it. We are here on earth to serve the Lord and His kingdom. First of all. And if your business is trying to weigh you down, get rid of your business. Amen. Look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and do see what it is really to watch. Because sometimes we have some funny ideas of what it is to watch. A young girl came to me. She's very new in the Lord, so I don't blame her. But she said, do you know, this watching, I'm so afraid to go and lay down in my bed and fall asleep, because if the Lord is coming, what then? And I'm sleeping in my bed. I said, don't you worry about that. We cannot stay awake until the Lord comes. In that sense. But whether maybe we will have to stay awake for a few years, and you ask our doctor here what would happen, you'll die. Next, after water, even I think it is true, even before we need food, we need sleep for our bodies. But we have some strange ideas about this watching aspect of the prayer life. But here the Lord is very frank. And he speaks a language that we all can understand. Luke chapter 12 and verse 33. This is where he told us we should seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. This is the kingdom order. That is why I said, if your business is robbing you of your life in the kingdom and your life to the Lord, get rid of it. The kingdom is first, the Lord is first, we are here to serve him, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And that's why the Lord says, don't be afraid, don't worry about what you shall eat and what you shall drink. And I don't think, brothers and sisters, that we shall spiritualize these things too much, because these things have to do with our daily life. And then he says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself purses which do not wear out, and an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed in readiness, and keep your lamps alight, and be like men who are waiting for the Master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Now this readiness of verse 35 has something to be dressed in readiness, has something to do with being able and willing, if it is necessary, to sell your possessions in the measure that it is necessary. There was a brother coming to me, I think it's a year ago, and he sought my advice. He had got an offer from his firm to be promoted to a position of being director for a certain department, but that would involve that he had to leave the town and go somewhere else. Involved that he had to leave the town and go somewhere else, and he would get such a raise in his salary and a free car and even a house. So he came and talked to me about it, and he said, what shall I do about it? And then I put a question before him. I said, how will that promotion affect your service unto the Lord? And then he looked at me and said, I thought you would say that. Because I know that if I accept this promotion, I will have to be occupied much more. But not only that, I will have to leave the fellowship and go to a place where I don't know if there is any fellowship. Then I said to him, all right, you got the answer. Don't get promoted. And he said, I'm so thankful because deep down in my heart, I really know that this is what the Lord wants. So he said no, and they were all astonished in the whole firm. How could he turn off a promotion? But brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord is reminding us when he says, sell your possessions. Nothing can come in the way of our commitment to serve the Lord and his kingdom. Whatever it is, get rid of it. Sell your possessions. One of the elders in my church, he had the same problem. He is a government man. He worked for the government. And he had the same offer of being promoted. He knew he was going to be, but before he came that long, he talked to the Lord about it. And you know what the Lord said to him? He said, no, you are not going to go further on in your career. On the contrary, you ought to apply for reduced working time so that you can help poor Johannes in the work. He is the brother that is gifted to counsel people and pray for deliverance. And we have got such a burden with many people coming to us. So he applied, and they were furious. And his boss came down on him and he said, I tell you, you will never ever get any chance of coming further in this department. Then he said, I don't desire. I want to have this time. And then he gave his testimony. And he got his reduced working time. Now this is what the Lord is calling watch and pray. Watch that your heart don't be involved so much in this world and in the busyness of life that you are not able to serve the Lord as you ought to serve him. A brother from Ceylon, he came to Stockholm when I was there. And one of the days, the brothers and sisters thought they would show him Stockholm is a beautiful city. And then they had big storehouses with wonderful things to buy. So they let him through all the big stores and so on. And then he was to preach the day after on Sunday morning. And then he stood up and before he preached, he said, I went yesterday to see your beautiful city and see these storehouses, these shopping centers. And my word. Oh, how much you have got that I don't need. Oh, I thought that was really beautiful. How much you have got that I don't need. Let us beware, brothers and sisters. This is something very real for many of us. I remember Brother Nee once, in order to keep his heart away from covetousness, is that the word? Yeah. He made an appointment with the Lord that every time he bought a shirt or a pencil or something else, he should buy four more and give it away to his brothers and sisters. You know, that had two good things with it to go with it. First of all, he wouldn't be able to buy too much. Praise the Lord. How much they have that we don't need. Secondly, it was really keeping his heart warm for the brothers all the time. I think that was extraordinary. Let us be on the alert with busyness, weighed down with the cares pertaining to the busyness of this life. And when we speak of the old man and the flesh, the Lord has some words there also to add in the matter of watching and praying. We turn to Mark 14 again. Verse 37 38. And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now the Lord is pointing out here there is no other way to conquer the weakness of the flesh than to watch and pray. It is true that the old man has been crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. But that is an objective truth. And if you look in Galatians, there's the most extraordinary word there telling us that we are to crucify our flesh. Have you discovered it in Galatians 5:24? It is one thing that we see that we have been crucified with Christ. Our old man is crucified with Christ. It is another thing to see how we are to work that out in our life. This is something else that we need to know about that glorious truth, Galatians 5:24. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the working out of that glorious truth. And how do we work it out? Only one way, brothers and sisters, watch and pray. Those who are not watching and praying, they may have this wonderful, glorious truth revealed to them that the old man has been crucified with Christ, but still they cannot get the victory over him. In actual fact, we have to watch and pray, so that we are not getting deceived. And Simon here, Peter was deceived. And the Lord told him, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he was not aware of that danger. You know, the Lord here speaks about the great temptation of denying the Lord. Now, the Lord prayed for Peter. The Lord's intercession covered him. Praise the Lord. That we have a high priest that intercedes for us before the throne, before the Father. So we cannot lose our salvation. I don't believe we can. But we can come under the domination of the flesh. This we can. And if Peter had known what it is to watch and pray, I don't believe that he would have fallen into that temptation of denying his Lord. We can only conquer the flesh and the natural man if we watch and pray. It is so subtle. You know, when the Lord spoke to Simon Peter about his way to the cross, and Peter turned to the Lord and said, no, Lord, this is never going to happen to you. It's all wrong. Such a wonderful person that do miracles and heal the sick. Are you going to die? I've never heard of anything like that. And you know, Simon Peter really loved the Lord. It was out of his natural affection. He wouldn't be without the Lord. He couldn't bear the thought that the Lord was taken away from them and so on. And he had a natural affection. But my word, when the Lord turns to him and answers him, what strong words he uses. Get behind me, Satan. Because you are only occupied with the things of man, but not with the things of God. Brothers and sisters, there's no one in this room, however spiritual he may be, how many years he may have known the Lord, he cannot discern and own inner being if he is not a man of watching and prayer. We never know how we are being deceived by our own flesh and acting in our natural man. It's so subtle. To divide spirit from soul is not one for all experience. It is something that we have constantly to watch over and pray over, that we may live in the spirit and walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, we have not only bad flesh, we have good flesh too. Fine flesh. Wonderful cultivated flesh. And no one of us can divide and discern these things if we are not watching and praying. This is the only way. Watch and pray. Oh my word. In a way you could say that if you look at it in the natural sense, how spiritual Simon he was. He was able to sleep in the most terrible crisis they had with the Lord and the disciples. Isn't that true? Sometimes you can look at it like that and say, oh my word, what a man of faith. While the Lord is burdened and his sweat is falling down on and he's really, fear has come into him. There's Simon, he's lying and he's sleeping. He's calm. He's gone really wet. Oh no. No. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the Spirit is urging us to cry and to weep and to fight. And in this greatest moment, he slept. He didn't know what was going on. Brothers and sisters, do we know what is going on? Are we having a good time and feeling at rest by faith? And then when it really is revealed unto us, we are just sleeping, all of us, while a tremendous crisis is going on. And the heart of God is burdened and laid down with a burden for a lost world, for his church. We can never discern it in any other way than through watching and praying. That is where we really get the viewpoint of God on any matter. Yes. And we look on reality as things really are. Watch and pray. And then lastly, let me say this. I found that the greatest enemy of Christianity today is not communism, but it's another ism. It's humanism. It's a natural man and his affection. Oh my word, what an enemy. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. This very thing among the lost people too, that always want to avoid the cross, always want to get around things without going through and experience the cross. What a horrible thing it is. Only wanting to have a good time. I agree with Brother Kong when he opened this conference. I do believe that when we have bad times, very often we are on the right track. And then finally, the devil is trying also to devour us. If you turn to 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, and we close with that scripture. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, what is it the devil is trying to do here? It's the very same thing. First of all, he will try to get us to willingly avoid suffering. But if we are in the suffering, he'll try to discourage us, take away our faith. There's no question here that we have to go through suffering. What the devil is doing while we are in suffering, he tries to take away our hope and discourage us and bring us down into depression. And it is on that very thing that we must learn to watch and pray. He's trying to devour us with depression, with hopelessness, with being self-occupied, pitying ourselves, self-pity. This is the very thing that it speaks of here. We lose faith and joy in the suffering that we have to go through. The only way we can escape is really to give heed to the words, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Or, as we have in verse 6 too, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. The anxiety. We don't need to have anxiety in the suffering. The suffering can be there, and God can have sent it there, but he never adds any anxiety or fear or discouragement or disappointment or depression of any kind. This is the enemy coming in to devour us. And this is why we have, brothers and sisters, to resist him through watching and praying. Be on the alert. May the Lord help us, and may he really take us further on, and may he cause us to stay awake and know where we are, what we are doing, and what we are asking for. Amen.